starting last night, starting this past week, starting today, and there's all kinds of things that are going on in churches. And we need not forget the most important thing, though. We can get so caught up in music and programs and what day it is and the issue is today in the age of grace that we don't have to hold on to the traditions of men. The issue of traditions you can take all the way back in times past. I think we need to rejoice and reflect on what Christ did at the cross daily. It's not an issue that because this is Sunday and that, you know, if you study the matter of what this world brings to, a lot of people think today's Easter as far as the fact of the resurrection of Jesus Christ that we celebrate. And I think that's great. But let's not forget a lot of Easter today that people don't realize the history goes back to Ishtar, which is a pagan holiday. But people don't have a clue anymore because they don't study anymore and they don't read anymore. Just as the same matter, there's people all over the world today sitting in churches that are trusting in everything a man says behind a podium as if that's the way it is and it must be true. I woke up singing this morning today, you go back to, I know everybody's laughing about it that I've done it to, but this morning today is as I woke up, I thought about the traditions of men and what everybody does. And I love some traditions. I love getting together with the family because I don't see them all the time even though they even live in the area. I love to see brothers and sisters and moms and dads and do the things that you can remember that you did as a kid, those things that were fun. I don't have a problem with traditions like that. But when you base them on the basis of why you're saved, we miss it. You know it? And that's a big issue. But I woke up and there's a musical, a lot of y'all probably ain't seen, A Fiddler on the Roof, where the guy starts singing Tradition. The song is called Tradition. Look it up and listen to it. But he talks about why a papa is a papa, why a mama is a mama, why a daughter is a daughter, why a son is a son. And he's talking about his Jewish culture, and the Russians are coming in and they're taking over their city to move them out. That's what the whole play is based upon. But he comes to a part and he starts singing this song in operetta, singing this song, and he just keeps yelling out Tradition. And then he finally stops and he looks and he goes, you know, he talks about how the heritage and their forefathers and things in the past, that tradition is something that they've always done. And he talks about how important it is. And he says, he goes, you want me to tell you why it's important? He goes, I'll tell you why. And he stops for a minute and he goes, well, I don't know. And you know, but that's the point of it. Today, people do things on the basis of because everybody else does it. That's the way they do it. And they don't even know why. And it doesn't add to a thing when it comes to their life as far as salvation and things like that. And they think it does. And so it's important that we don't get caught up into programs and into religious experiences and into things like that. That's why I love our setting. I love what we do. And you never know what we may do from week in to week out. I hope that's how we stay. Today's Easter Sunday, so the crucifixion is going to be talked about all over the place, and I'm excited about that. The resurrection is going to be talked about all over the place, and I think that's awesome. I wish it was done every week. But my biggest hope is that not only is it spoken of and done, but it's spoken of in the manner that is contextual and is absolutely correct, causing no undoctrinal truths. Because today I'm going to tell you there's churches everywhere that tell you you're Israel. There's churches today everywhere that tell you you need to do this in order to be saved. There's just all kinds of denominations and religious experiences all over the place today that tell you there are certain things you need to do in order to be saved, when the issue is the truth of the matter is the basis by which we're saved is the fact that we have trusted in what Christ did at the cross, and that alone and nothing else. I was raised in having to do certain things in order to know that I'm saved, and I walked away all the time wondering, was I saved, or was that enough, or did I need to do more? And the issue was, I always looked for more, and I was pretty good at doing it, but the issue was, none of that mattered towards my salvation. It's the fact of what Christ did at the cross. Now, over the last few weeks, we've talked about rightly dividing the Word and the things that divide the Word to where we can know doctrinally when we walk away, we know beyond a shadow of a doubt, not because of what I say, but because of what the Word says, how we know the truth. Because today, everywhere, truth is not shared. And it is important that we know the truth. How does Satan deceive today? He uses the Word to deceive people. He uses preachers that stand behind a pulpit to deceive people, to share things that you need to do that are not necessary for us anymore when it came to the message of grace. And so, a lot of preachers today will be in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They'll never leave that area, and they'll tell you by which you're to be saved and what you need to do. When the issue is, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Christ wasn't crucified until the end of those books. Right? And that's the issue, and salvation is not in the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Salvation for today is in the issues of the books from Romans through Philemon of what Paul preached, the gospel of Christ. This is the gospel of the kingdom. Something that's going to be taking place of through Hebrews, through Revelation, and in the times to come, right? Those things that are spoken of there for Israel. I won't be here then. And we've brought those up, we've brought these vast differences up in the matter of those things to Israel and those things to us today. Right? Before we go any further, let's go to Romans. In the book of Romans, go to chapter 15. There is an absolute distinction to those things that Christ preached compared to those things that the Apostle Paul preached. But let's not mess up and think, well, wow, there's such a division in these two people. Those things that Paul preached were given to Paul through who? Through Christ. Right? It's not that Paul said, I'm going to work it another way, and Jesus, this is the way I'm going to do it. It's the fact of the matter that Paul was given the revelation of the mystery, a dispensation, after Christ had been resurrected, and he told Paul, this is now by which men are saved. But today, everybody tells you all the things that you need to do that Christ preached. Follow the red letters. Be baptized. Do these things. Remission of sins. All these things that come out to people that are no longer necessary for salvation, that today will be preached everywhere. And it's clear there's a distinction that even Paul gives in the Word. So it's not that I say it, that I think this is what it means. It's the fact this is what the Word says. So you can base it on what the Word says, or what you think, or what your other preacher thinks, or what another pastor thinks, or whatever. I'm going to base it on exactly that the Word means exactly what it says. And so you see a distinct difference today in the message that Paul gives after the crucifixion and the message that Christ gave before the crucifixion. So one of the key dividing lines today for our salvation is to rightly divide those things that need to be rightly divided. And one of the main points of division is that the things before the cross were absolutely different than the things that were after the cross. Right? Well, I'm glad you see that, because we're going to look at it not because I say it, but because the Scripture says it. In Romans chapter 15, look at verse 8. The Apostle Paul says, "Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers." Now Paul gives a clear distinction. Now God spoke this to Paul to write. It's not Paul says, I'm just going to write this. It's the issue that this book is truth. If you don't believe it's truth, then you're wasting your time anyway. Right? And Paul says, makes it clear that he says, Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision. Now, if you go from the Old Testament all the way through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all the way up through this flock that believed Jesus was the Messiah, that circumcision was Jew. In fact, that circumcision came to a point that it was even divided. And that circumcision was the Jew that believed Jesus was the Messiah. And that's who Jesus came to minister to. That's why when he walked through the streets in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, what did he say? Don't go to the Gentiles. Don't go into Samaria. Don't go to these places. He came to save the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's pretty distinct, isn't it? That doesn't include any Gentile at all unless they became that as of Israel. Right? And so you see that Paul says, look, now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision. How come? For the truth of God, to make those things that God told Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to be true. Scripture had to be fulfilled, and when Christ was here, He was fulfilling the Scripture of the promises that were made by God to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that's what He says here. He says, of the circumcision, for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. And people were able to preach that Jesus was walking the streets and he was here to save everybody. No, He wasn't. He was here to confirm the promises that were made unto the fathers. Right? And it was to come to who were those fathers? That was Israel. They believed Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was their father. And Jesus came for them to save them, to set the kingdom of the gospel, the good news of the gospel, the good news of the kingdom, that Christ is going to set His throne here on earth. By the way, it didn't happen. But He's going to fulfill the promises, and it will happen, right? Well then, look at what Paul says, and the difference if you go to Romans, the same chapter, in chapter 15, and look at verse 16, at what Paul says. Now we see that we know that Christ preached what? To confirm the promises, right? Made to the fathers and to the circumcision. Right? Then what did Paul preach?
If you just go a few verses on from 8, go to verse 16. The Apostle Paul says that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. There's a distinct difference in circumcision and to the Gentiles. Because the Gentiles were known as uncircumcised heathen. They were known as dogs. They were known as... God was not their God. Right? He came to save the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And Paul says that I should minister Jesus Christ. See, Paul didn't minister Jesus Christ before the crucifixion. He ministered Jesus Christ after the resurrection. Because things changed. Before the crucifixion, what happened? There was remission of sins. There was baptism. There was sacrificing animals. There were all these statutes. There was the law of Moses that they had to follow. Right? After the crucifixion, the message that was given to Paul that Paul spoke of this morning in the Bible study, those things were done away with. Christ took care of all that stuff on the cross. And so He gave a mystery, a message to Paul, and He says, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. So the issue with Paul, he preached the ministry, right, of Jesus Christ. To who? To Gentiles. Who were the Gentiles then? Let me tell you something. A lot of people think, well, what about Israel? Let me tell you what. The only Israel that was there then that could be saved were those who believed Jesus was the Messiah. The Jews that did not believe Jesus was the Messiah, what were they known as? Uncircumcised? Heathen? They were known, they were not part of the flock. Therefore, they were no longer Israel. Today, in the country of Israel, in the nation of Israel, we got this idea that they're God's chosen people. That's what preachers will preach all day. They're God's chosen people. Those people are not God's chosen people. They're just like Gentiles. Right?
And only those that are Jewish have died in their faith, who will be resurrected when we're taken out of here. And so, the message that Jesus preached was a totally, absolutely different message than those things that Paul preached. And it happened after the resurrection. So one of your major dividing lines between Israel is after the crucifixion, right? There's a difference.
And those are the things that we need to notice. The death, the burial, and the resurrection are vital to how we divide the Word so that we have a clear understanding of what is for us today. The Scripture speaks clearly for itself. I love the way the fact that people today think they need interpreters all over the place. The issue is we need to be in our Word, and the Bible can interpret itself to exactly what it means. It says what it means. We have to decide that the Bible means what the Bible says. It's amazing today, many will read a book, they'll go to a bookstore or something, and they'll trust everything somebody has written in a book for them to understand. It's like, well, this must be right, when we know the Word of God is precise and perfect. They'll listen to what someone thinks. Today, all over the place, people will listen to what somebody thinks the Bible is saying. All over the place today, there will be people behind a pulpit that will say, now this is what I think it means. Well, let me tell you what, when that goes on, do not take that for your doctrine. What the Word says is what the Word means. If you hear me say, I think this is what it means, don't count on it. Because there's sometimes I do think, you know, we talked about this morning, there's things that we think about. You only take what the Word says is true. But today people will trust in what somebody says they think something means. They'll trust in those who have college degrees. Well, he went to college, so he must be right. Okay? By the way, Ted Turner went to college. Okay? There are many people that went to college. Okay? More than simply taking the Scripture for exactly what it says. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, look at verse 16 and verse 17. It says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. That means there's profit in it, okay? When we take these Scriptures and we study them, it's profitable for doctrine. Well, don't you think doctrine would be important? Because doctrine is that thing that we believe, that we come into the same unity in the mind as the body of Christ to say, this is what we believe and this is why we believe it. So it's not from another man, which causes denominations. There's no denomination that came out of the Word of God, by the way. Every denomination started by a man. Right? And the Word of God says, all Scripture is given by God, right? And it's profitable for doctrine. So the issue isn't that we go get another book and we say, well, this is how this guy did it, so it's probably right, or I like, he had this degree. No. The issue is when we teach in here, we teach out of the Word of God. We don't need somebody else's handbook. And we rightly divide the Scriptures so it makes exact, precise sense. And so, anyway, it says in verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Righteousness only means one thing, rightness. Those things that are right. Okay? Verse 17, that the man of God be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Let me tell you what, the issue today is, you can take the simple message of the cross and you can make it so confusing by hearing what 30 other people say it says without using the Scripture. Right? And it would not be profitable. Why wouldn't it be profitable? Because there's only one way you can be saved.
And today, through denominations all across the country, there are preachers that are telling you 15 different ways and 15 different things you need to do. You're going to take their word for it and what they think it's saying, or you're going to take the word for what it says through Scripture. That's the decision that you have to make. But let me tell you, there's only one way. And Scripture gives clear understanding of it, unless you don't reproof when you read, correct when you read, see things that are right when you read, by dividing the word in the right way. If you take the Scriptures, and they're all up here, if you take every book, and you just put them in a pot and stir them up, I'll show you contradiction after contradiction after contradiction. Why? Because it has to be rightly divided, so that we would not be ashamed. The workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Because if you do mix it, you will not have a clear understanding of salvation. And there are preachers all across the day that are saying this is one gospel, one good news. Well, it's not. There's a lot of gospels in here. There's a lot of good news. There are things that Paul preached that was to the Gentiles after the resurrection. There were things that Jesus Christ preached, that the fathers preached, that others prophesied, that has nothing to do with your salvation. It has everything to do with the salvation of Israel. And you better know the difference, because they both won't save you. Only one will save you. And those are the letters that Paul wrote. Why do you believe that? Well, I mean, we read it for ourselves that unless God is a liar and this word is not inspired, the Apostle Paul says that he was to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ. What was the gospel of Jesus Christ? That He died, forgave you of your sins, died, buried, and resurrected the third day. One thing that Mark taught, that Mark mentioned after class, he mentioned the fact that all these knew that Jesus was going to die. It was prophesied. Right? But you'll never find in the old Scriptures or in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John where he said, what? That he's going to forgive you for all your sins, or that he was going to be resurrected. Is that right? Do you recognize that? In the old prophecies, it wasn't preached that he was going to be resurrected. It was preached that he was going to die. So he made a good comment. Maybe Satan didn't know this. It was just a good discussion this morning. But the issue is those things weren't preached to Israel, and preachers all over the place today will teach you salvation through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Let me tell you what.
Paul makes it clear. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In chapter 15, look at verse 1. Now, Apostle Paul has written this letter to the Corinthians. They got it. And then they started following the wisdom of man again. They started getting into the traditions of man. There was somebody had written to Paul, and he says, this has been brought to my attention from the house of Chloe, that you guys are have some dissension or have some issues. And he brings up baptism. He brings up how these things do nothing but shadow the cross of what the cross did. And he gets on into Corinthians, and when he gets to chapter 15, he hits it on the head after he's given all his issues of what they are doing wrong after they got it right. Okay? He goes in chapter 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, that means more than anything else I've said, he says, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. Paul says, look, I'm just going to make a declaration. Okay? That this thing that I have preached to you, this thing that you believe, that you receive, that you stand on, okay, after all these other complaints that I've thrown back at you, how you've changed. And now this issue, he says in verse 2, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. He says, look, I'm making a declaration. I want to be clear. These things that you took a stand on, that you, these things you received, unless you never believed it from the beginning anyway.
And this is the basis on by which you are saved. Now the one thing he doesn't give next is what? The Ten Commandments. Right? The one thing he doesn't give next is that you have to ask Jesus in your heart. The next thing he doesn't give, he doesn't say you need to be baptized, or you need to take communion, or you need to be in the church choir, or you need to give your money, or you need to do this. He doesn't give any of these things. He makes it as simple as can be by which you're saved. And what does he give in verse 3?
For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. How that Christ died for our sins. He doesn't say, according to what I think. He says, according to the Scriptures. He didn't get it from another book. He didn't get it from another person. He didn't get it from anybody else, but according to the Scriptures. Highlight this, another thing that's interesting. When Paul spoke, and I'm not going to get in detail on this, when Paul spoke or when it was written, it was immediately counted as Scripture. Those things in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Old Testament, were not counted as Scripture. Do you understand that? Until the Word was complete. But when Paul wrote, it was complete. I think that's interesting. Right? Now let's go on what he says. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. So how are we received? This declaration that Paul makes is how? Unless we believed in vain, it's the fact that we have trusted in the fact that we did nothing and Christ took care of everything on the cross. Over. If you base your salvation on anything else, then that's works. And grace can't be grace at all if you apply works to it. Where's the Scripture that it says it is no longer considered grace if it's works? I can't remember exactly where it's at.
Romans what? Romans 11:6. And if by grace, then is it no more of works? Otherwise, grace is no more grace. There are preachers today all over the place telling people what they need to do to be saved. And they'll hit the first part, you know, how Christ died for them, how He forgave them for their sins. And they'll go on and then they say, now this is what you need to do. But they just blew grace. The issue is what you trust in for your salvation. If you trust in anything else that you've done for your salvation, then that can't be the gospel of grace. The good news of grace is that Christ did it all. It's not good news at all if you add anything to what you do. Right?
I mean, it's clear as a bell. The fact that you base your salvation on, before you base anything else doctrine, is you either trust in the fact of what Christ did, or you've not trusted it the whole time. You base it on the things that you do. And all over today, there are denominational people and teachers and philosophers that are full of tradition, and they say, you know why I baptized them the way that I did? Because that's what the preacher before me did, and the preacher that I saw do it, and as I grew up, it was all tradition. That if somebody counts on that for their salvation, you know what it'll do? It'll send them straight to hell. Because they're counting on what they did, and not on the basis of what Jesus Christ did at the cross. It shadows the cross. Anything you add to your salvation shadows the cross. Perfect symbol for division, don't you think? Perfect symbol. Those things before Christ died were given to Israel, and there were statutes they had to meet and things they had to do. Remember what they did? They failed. Right? They also had to count on the fact of what Jesus Christ did at the cross. Right? Forgiving them of their sins.
And by the way, if you try to pick those things up and say that you're Israel, you blew it. Right? So we rejoice in the fact today that Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, took away all those handwriting of requirements, those ordinances, away, nailing it to the cross, forgiving us for our sins. The issue isn't that we come up and we ask for forgiveness anymore. That ain't the issue. The issue is that He's already forgiven us. And the fact that we take the declaration that the Apostle Paul made, that He died for your sins, was dead, buried, and He was resurrected. Right? And we count on that for our salvation and nothing else. It's the sinless message that all over the world today people are making so hard, and not only hard, they're making it wrong. Right? Satan alone uses the very Word of God to deceive other people because they don't know how to read it or divide it, and they trust in what other men say. When you count on what other people say and it's not according to Scripture, it's wrong. So there is a wrong and a right. And you base that on not what you think things are. You base it on what the Scriptures say.
Just in closing, one Scripture that I've used over and over and over again that I think is extremely important, because a lot of people say, well, all you do is follow Paul. All you do, you're saying the rest of the Scriptures aren't important. You're saying this, you're saying that. You know what? If you don't make much of what Paul said, then you make much of what Moses said. It's either one or the other. If you notice, from Acts 8 all the way back, what's always brought up? Moses, 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 Moses. So if you're not going to make a lot out of what Paul said, then you're just making a lot out of what Moses said. Right? I mean, that's the thing. In closing, 1 Timothy chapter 1. If the Word means what the Word says, this should clearly encourage you to study Paul's letters. Because this is what Paul says in verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Verse 16. Howbeit, because of this all that I said, howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first. Now what's that saying? Howbeit, I obtained mercy, that in me first. So could anybody else receive the grace message before Paul? If they could, then this is a lie. The grace message was given to Paul first. And he says, that in me first, Jesus Christ might show forth all, that means everybody, long-suffering. For a pattern, a picture, what do we go over here? The pattern for Christ was to conform the promises made to the fathers to those that were circumcised. And by the way, He's going to fulfill those promises, and that kingdom is going to be set up. There's going to be a kingdom of priests, and then we'll go out into the world and be the salt of the earth, the light of the world, and bring people to the King. I ain't going to be here then. Because my blessings, Paul says, are in heavenly places. And my blessings is the fact that there was also, Christ gave Paul a message. And it was the ministry of Jesus Christ. What was the ministry of Jesus Christ? Was it the kingdom? The ministry of Jesus Christ is that Christ had died for all your sins. Unless you believed in vain, that you count on that for your salvation. And he says here, that in me first, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting. So if you don't believe in the pattern that was given to Paul, well, that's the pattern for hereafter to have life everlasting. So therefore, if you believed anything else, would that be the pattern? If you give me a pattern to build a house, well, first of all, that would be stupid. Because I can't build worth anything. But if you were to give me a pattern to build a house, and I build half of that house, and I said, I'm just going to do the rest on my own, how's it going to come out? It's going to be awful. But if I follow that pattern exactly how it's given, and I have the knowledge of knowing how to build a house, a lady's making a dress, or whatever, a pattern gives you a direction. Well, we have a direction by which we know we're saved through the Scriptures. And it was given to Paul, and it's for all now to have everlasting life hereafter. There's not another way. So if you've trusted in the things that you've done in order for your salvation, you've missed the pattern. The issue is you've trusted in what Christ did. And you count on that for your salvation. Nothing else matters.